Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoucy, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on X at Matthew Soucy. This show is available on iTunes and, like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, friends, first off, thanks to everybody who supported WFYI during the pledge drive. And remember, it's never too late or too early to support WFYI, Film Sociology, and all things public radio goodness. You can go to WFYI.org/give to show your support. A little later on, we will have Sammy Terry in an interview I did with him earlier this week, and a review of a film. But in the shameless plug department, you can hear me on this week's episode of Golan Globus Theater, or Golan Globins Theater. We are discussing the Vincent Price film Theater of Blood, and we just had an epic good time talking about Shakespeare and Vincent Price and horror and bad audience members and all that stuff. So you can go take a look at that. Golan Globus Theater and Theater of Blood. But I want to start with raising a glass to Richard Roundtree. Of course, he, star of Shaft, passed away on October 24th at the age of 81. You know, here's a guy who was a model, and Shaft was his first film. I revisited Shaft and Shaft's Big Score over the week upon hearing of his death. Both of those are both films directed by Gordon Parks. Both of them are also available on Criterion. But the fact that he got picked for that, and he tells us in an archive interview, Roundtree tells a story of that Gordon Parks told him on the day of shooting, when he, at the beginning of the film, when Shaft comes out of the subway, up the stairs out of the subway and into the street, he just told him, you have to move like you own the city. And he does. And it's a hell of a debut. People shouldn't forget this. It's Shaft is just a lot of fun to watch. And it hadn't dawned on me. I hadn't put it into words until this week. But also the fact that we had a detective story that was shot on location, on the streets of New York. It's one thing when the earlier detective films with Humphrey Bogart, you know, it obviously looks like it's shot in a studio lot. And to a lesser degree, about maybe half a century or half a decade before Shaft, was Paul Newman as Lou Archer in Harper, being shot on the streets of Los Angeles. But great look at the city of New York. It also helps that, you know, the great Gordon Parks, the great photographer turned filmmaker, had his eye behind the camera. And also the fact that John Shaft in this film and the other, and to a slightly lesser but still fun degree in Shaft's Big Score, knows everybody from every walk of life. And this is brought up on, you know, it's more than just the being a black James Bond or a black superhero, as this was kind of being pushed as. But he, from the blind newspaper salesman to folks in Manhattan to the gay bartender in Greenwich Village to the hippie in Greenwich Village to the guys up in Harlem to the black militant group, everybody knew John Shaft, and if you didn't know Shaft, more than likely you were a chump. And that shows in this film. He just commands presence and your attention, and he's so good in this. And it's just a fun, fun watch of the original Shaft. Of course, Isaac Hayes won the Oscar for the theme from Shaft for the best original song, based on the novels by Ernest Tiedemann. And to a certain degree, this would obviously be the big boom for Roundtree's career, but it would also kind of hinder him a little bit in further down the road, because that's what he became known as. He appeared in three Shaft films. I mentioned Shaft's Big Score, which is also fun, Shaft in Africa, it's a step down, but still okay. And then he participated in the Shaft TV series for CBS in 1973-74, which is still kind of baffling, and I need to revisit a few of those. What I do remember is he is more inclined to work with the police, and his wardrobe's not nearly as good. And Roundtree has since regretted doing the television series. And then, of course, playing Uncle Jay to Sam Jackson's Shaft for John Singleton in 2000, unless we talk about the three generations of Shaft films that I took my kid to, which basically felt like a ride-along, but without Chris Hart, or Kevin Hart, I should say, the better. But, you know, at the very least, he's got Shaft under his belt, and that's pretty damn impressive. Going through his IMDb, because that's what I do here, his second film was Embassy, which I need to revisit, then Shaft's big score, then a TV movie called Firehouse, which has the dubious honor of, I have this on video, and it's about a black firefighter getting trying to work along with his white compatriots who don't have the most open of arms upon working with him. But the VHS cover has Fred Williamson superimposed under a firefighter hat. So somebody really dropped the ball on that from 1973, as well as Charlie One Eye, which I also need to revisit. Then I remember seeing him as Miles, the motorcycle stuntman in the disaster film Earthquake. He did Man Friday with Peter O'Toole, which I believe I own. I have to check the M section of the films, the film library, and revisit that. He also did the film heist film Diamonds with Robert Shaw and Shelley Winters. That's, I believe, Menachem Golan's first film as a director, if I remember correctly. Of course, appeared in Roots, Portrait of a Hitman, Escape to Athena, Game for Vultures, Day of the Assassin. These kind of international, not necessarily Hollywood films, but films that were made for the international market with a group of international stars. Inchon from 1981. I saw Inchon in the theater with my dad. We were the two. Appeared as Captain Stevens for Chuck Norris in An Eye for an Eye. Cue the Winged Serpent, which I know has a big following. One Down, Two to Go, the Three the Hard Way sequel of Jim Brown, Fred Williamson, Jim Kelly, and Richard Roundtree. And then started doing a lot of TV. So say what you will about Roundtree's career, he was constantly working. Young Warriors, which I believe Golan Globus Theater did an episode on. The Big Score, which was produced and directed by Fred Williamson, who also starred in it. Kill Point, City Heat. I remember that he was Burt Reynolds' detective partner who was killed. Opposing Force, Jocks, Maniac Cop. You can kind of tell he's in B-movie level. Angel 3, The Final Chapter. Miami Cops, it was 1989. Getting Even, Night Visitor, Crack House, which I believe I also own, The Banker, Bad Jim, Gypsy Angels, A Time to Die, Blood Fist 3, Forced to Fight. Wow. As I mentioned, a lot of TV, a lot of film, a lot of shows like L.A. Law and Hearts Are Wild and Beverly Hills 90210, Amityville, A New Generation, which I believe was straight to DVD or straight to video. Still going. That's right, 7. And then he'd pop up in something in a cool supporting role in a notable film like 7 and Once Upon a Time When We Were Colored. And then he was Commissioner Lynch and Theodore Rex. Original Gangsters with film sociology guest Fred Williamson. That's the one. It's Fred, Jim Brown, Pam Grier, Ron O'Neill, Richard Roundtree. And then he'd appear in the George of the Jungle remake and the film Steel with Shaquille O'Neal. And I mentioned Shaft, as well as Antitrust, Hawaiian Gardens, Corky Romano. He always brings a level of, at least he brings a little level of class to even something like Corky Romano. Capone's Boys, Boat Trip. Yeah, Brick. He played the principal or assistant vice principal Truman in Brick, which is a really fun high school noir. Wild 7, All the Days Before Tomorrow. Now we're getting into stuff Speed Racer. That requires remembering Speed Racer, but he played Ben Burns in that. The Confident, Duke, the remake of Whatever She Wants, as opposed to Whatever He Wants, Collar, Retreat. I mentioned Shaft. I don't want to mention Shaft from 2019. And according to IMDb, a TV series, a short film, and something that's in post-production called Thelma, Collar Director's Cut, which has apparently come out already, if not, and then moving on from last year. So anyway, constantly working, even if it's stuff that I maybe haven't been able to see. Like I said, the last thing was Shaft from 2019. But he's in the lexicon. He's in the pop culture lexicon. And yes, he was, because MGM put out Shaft, that was the big studio. And it wasn't even a blaxploitation film. It was just a black detective story. And then this spawn, this helped spawn this and Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song, as well as Across 110th Street, which was before that. Anyway, it helped bring in a new wave of audience for, and films for African Americans. And Roundtree is always going to be in the Pop Culture Hall of Fame for cool. And there's nothing wrong with that. So salute to Richard Roundtree. Thank you, sir, for everything. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. As I mentioned, I'm on this week's episode of Golden Globus Theater discussing Theater of Blood. And it's that time of year. Let's bring him on. You know you want to. You know him. You love him. I do. Here's my chat this week with Sammy Terry. Well, friends, it's that time of year. We have a very special guest in studio, but I have a special greeting for him as a tribute to Richard Roundtree, who is the ghoul that's a sex machine for the Deadpool. Damn right. Sammy Terry's here, gang.
Good evening, Matthew, and all your deranged listeners out there.
Yep, these are your pledge dollars at work, friends. Sammy Terry's here with us on Film Sociology. And, of course, if you enjoy the programs here, WFYI.org/give, or Sammy will get you.
Absolutely. I'll be looking for you. If you don't pledge, they'll have to dredge you out.
Now, I know this is your busy time of year, and things are very, very hectic up until your birthday, which is, of course, the 31st. What do you got going on?
Oh, there's all kinds of horrible things that happen in Sammy Terry's world during this favorite season of the year. My birthday season. This Saturday, I will be at the oldest Halloween festival around, the Irvington Halloween Festival on East Washington Street in Indianapolis. I'll be there from noon until 4 p.m., right out in front of Scarlet Lane Brewery, the brewery that makes the Sammy Terry Kolsch beer and the new Sammy 62 Horrorweizen beer. Do stop by for a sample, and you can be at my booth. Get your picture taken with me. Enjoy all the horrors of the Irvington Halloween Festival. And then that evening on Saturday, you can go to Shelbyville, Indiana, to the old haunted Strand Theater. At 7 p.m., I'll be there presenting a classic Sammy Terry stage show. My guillotine will be all warmed up and bloodied for you. I'll do magic and tell you horrible stories from the stage to make sure your Halloween weekend starts off with a scream. And then Sunday, oh, I'll travel my hearse down to Martinsville, Indiana. And there at the old Art Sanctuary, it's a free stage show event for you and all of your fiends. At 6 p.m., I'll take the stage. We'll have contests. In fact, if you think you can laugh like Sammy Terry, come to the Scary Terry Laugh Contest, along along with the Scream Queens and all the other horrible things that happened at the Art Sanctuary on Saturday. Excuse me, Sunday, the 29th, at 6 p.m., and then Monday, the day before my birthday. George and I will be in Center Court riding the Indy Pace car there at the Indiana Pacers game when they take on the Chicago Bulls. I'll be there just before tip-off to rev up the crowd and to wish you a very horrible Halloween. And then, of course, as you said, Matthew, Tuesday night, Halloween, the most special day of the year, my birthday. I'll have a special celebration on my SammyTerry.com Nightmare Theater presentation. I'll be showing the 1986 television show Halloween special, Godzilla 85. Oh, you'll see the entire television episode with all the creepy commercials and everything, like old Mr. Whipple that likes to squeeze things. You'll see Cowboy Boob there all naked in a Van Slyke's hot tub. And of course, who wouldn't want to see that Hoosier rootin' tootin' cowboy who doesn't want to make any money, folks? He just loves to sell those guns. Don's Guns. Those classic commercials are all in your Halloween night special, airing and streaming on SammyTerry.com.
Okay, so you have a busy, that's a busy schedule. I'm glad you got extra shocks for your hearse there.
Good thing I don't breathe, because there's no breathing room.
I see what you did there. Okay, so friends, a couple notes on the weekend plans for Sammy Terry. If you've not been to Irvington, you don't miss it. You should. Sammy Terry blends in compared to some of the other costumes that happen in Irvington. You can take the kids, and it's fun for the little ones, but if you are a serious costumer and you're an adult, you definitely want to head down there. And of course, head over to the brewery. How were these? I didn't know, Sammy, these were the types of beer that you like. I wondered what your beer history was before you made the business with the brewery.
Well, Sammy Terry's beer and ale history is ancient. For hundreds of years ago, in my Sammy Terry castle way up in the mountains, I took care of the villagers downwind from me. You see, we had a symbiotic relationship. They gave me my type of cocktail, and I protected them from the dragon. And one day the dragon came down, terrorizing my village, and they begged me to protect them. So George and I went down with our sword. We put little children out in the square to beckon the dragon from his lair. And when he swooped down, I took my sword. I plunged it deep into him. Blood spewed everywhere, including the vats of my Sammy Terry Kolsch beer. And the origins of Sammy Terry Kolsch beer started with dragon's blood. And today, Elise Lane from Scarlet Lane Brewery, well, she blends a little bit of that into every batch of Sammy Terry Kolsch. Oh, yes, every beer has a little bit of blood from the dragon.
From a cat?
Oh. Fruit.
Oh, dragon fruit. See what,
I see
what you did there. See, I would have said blood orange, but that's another discussion for another time. And castles. So this must be the northwest side of Marion County.
Of course, way out there.
Because if it's not there, it's the mountains of Geist, as we all know. So. Okay, so yeah, the other part, as you mentioned, at the theater. Now, friends, if anybody in your household or anybody in your circle of friends have told you just once that you remotely sound like Sammy Terry doing a laugh, definitely go and do it in front of as many people as you can. Sammy loves that.
Absolutely. The Scary Terry Laugh Contest is one of the most hilarious laughing contests around.
Now, the Scream Queen, does the applicant have to be half-dressed in order to find out what the noise is down the hallway?
Well, Goolsby certainly appreciates the half-dressed part. He's always looking for a new ghoul friend.
There we go. And then, yes, then we get some scary basketball between the Pacers and the Bulls. Tell the Pacemates that I miss them. And Godzilla 85. So, friends, this is, if I remember right, it was Godzilla 85. This is the time-honored tradition of a human makeup artist in a rubber suit, if I remember correctly. No CG, no computer stuff, just good old-fashioned guys in suits pummeling each other.
Exactly. And in fact, every year that Godzilla convention travels around the United States with all now the decrepit actors wheeling in their wheelchairs, no longer able to suit themselves in the Godzilla wear. But yes, you're indeed correct, for this is in the great tradition of those giant monsters from the Japanese craze of monster movies.
We're seeing a string as, it's okay, George knows, it's all right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
You know, Matthew, people come up to me at every live event. They look left and right, and then they lean into me quietly and tell me, you know, Sammy, we could always see George's string. And I pull back slightly from their stained teeth, and I tell them, it's okay, George is a spider, and spiders have webs. And they look at me and go, oh.
Also, when it comes to a lot of events can't afford George. Sammy's fine, but George is really expensive.
He comes at a very high price when he's not chasing around some black widow somewhere. I have to cover for him all the time because he just doesn't show.
Well, tell Scarlett Johansson I said hello then. And so what else is happening over at SammyTerry.com? So I know you have some new merchandise because I believe you have clothes and gear for men and women and all those in between.
Oh, that's right. At SammyTerry.com, there's all kinds of memorabilia type of gifts and all kinds of custom things that you can remind yourself or your fiends about Sammy Terry and the history that you have. And, of course, every Friday, the Sammy Terry movie show, just like if you were one that was lucky enough to watch back in the 1960s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. You can watch Sammy Terry each and every week with a new episode, and many of those episodes are the original television episodes to remind you of how old you've gotten.
And as he mentioned, yeah, I think the very first local commercial, and it's truly terrifying, is the nanny goated cackle from Don's Guns. Almost as scary as Raper RV, but we won't get into that right now. So that's, yeah, but that's kind of old school. I think I've told the story before. I was a freshman in college at the Ball State University with Sammy's final full season. So I instead of doing what college knuckleheads normally did, I stayed in and watched. And I'm all the better for it. The show is proof.
Well, bless you, Matthew. And you can go to SammyTerry.com, sign up for the Nightmare Theater Show. You'll watch all 60 episodes of the Sammy Terry Show free, unlimited, for 30 days. So sign up, and every Friday, you'll have another new episode to watch as well.
I want to give a shout out to the gang over at Indie Bard Fest. Now I just got done doing the production of As You Like It a couple weeks ago, but one of the things that if you've not seen Sammy, or if you've not seen Sammy in a long time, is the fact that he's monologuing. These are long single takes. It's like, well, and you do the live show, so there's no cutaways, there's no second chances. You just got to keep going.
Very old school, where you start and you talk, for you know, television is steeped with great orators that could talk for hours, and many years before recorded commercials were available, every show had a host to host those commercials. That's how Sammy Terry got his start in broadcasting. In fact, there's an old story of a young man. Robert Carter was his name, a pioneer of Indiana broadcasting. Oh, he actually started a daytime talk show for 3 hours from 9 until noon every day, Monday through Friday. And with no videotape, there was absolutely no breaks, for he would just simply swivel his chair to the other camera, introduce the sponsor's product and the commercial, and then turn back and continue to ramble for 3 hours every single day with no potty breaks either. And so you could say my ability to be able to stunningly entertain a crowd in a monolithic monologue way is in my genes.
Don't ask what's under the cloak. Just don't. We're all the better for that. All these years, Sammy, do you get hecklers? Either for both good and bad reasons, because there's somebody that wants to be a part of the show, and then there may be others that just have no business being there.
Oh, yes, at my shows, you see, with the amount of years that Sammy Terry has been thrilling the generations of Hoosiers, there's many, many memories there. And many of these memories for people evoke grand emotion, and they want to share things about their lives that are completely irrelevant to anyone else's recollection other than theirs, that they like to just spew in the middle of my act. So when they do, I have learned a long time ago to let them ramble before I humiliate them into silence. And as my sponsors always tell me, I have a gift for gab and the ability to thrill you, to insult you, but make you thank me in the end.
What he said. WFYI.org/give. That's where you can go to support public radio goodness, film sociology, and all things with yours truly and Sammy Terry here. So, Sammy, I know you are also available for all kinds of appearances. It doesn't have to be October. I think Eli Roth is making a full-length film version of the film Thanksgiving. You know, white meat, dark meat, all will be carved. So you're available for any holidays, weddings, divorces, brisses. Let the professionals take care of that one. But, you know,
I would love to.
So, where can people go to book you so you can do your gig all year round?
You can hit the contact page at SammyTerry.com or send me an email at Sammy@SammyTerry.com. Oh, I do all kinds of events. We do special openings for retail stores. We've done weddings. In fact, I did a wedding 4 weeks ago during the blood moon. Oh, it was a Howard family down in Columbus, Indiana. It was actually a Morticia and Gomez wedding.
Oh.
Oh, she had a beautiful Morticia dress, and he, like most grooms, was adequate for the evening. But it was a wonderful event. Their family was very, very entertaining. We had a horrible time as I stood up and I directed their wedding.
I would say, I was going to ask if you were the best ghoul, you always are, but or if you actually conducted the wedding. There are those of us who can do weddings because of a certain online organization, and we are thankful for that.
I am completely ordained or doomed, one of the two. I can actually legally marry anyone and have performed 19 ceremonies.
Really? Very cool. I'm at 2. So, well, you know, I'm no Sammy Terry. Then again, who is? So there's that. All right. Very, very cool. Also, friends, you're a collector. We here at Film Sociology, we are pro physical media. Stuff that you can watch that you hold in your hands, like tapes or discs or things like that. So if you have that collection, especially in the VHS era, if you have any footage of Sammy Terry of any kind, Sammy would like to take a look at it and maybe talk to you about what can be done with it.
Oh, I would very much appreciate that. I've accumulated many episodes and snippets of Sammy Terry shows throughout the 62 years that I've been broadcasting, and I would like to have yours. We can certainly come out to a very good arrangement to make sure that you have a lifelong love and be able to know that you contributed to the history of Sammy Terry. And I would love love to offer you some merchandise or other type of accoutrements that would look wonderful on you or on your house in order to exchange for Sammy Terry episodes or video.
So there is that. You can go to SammyTerry.com if you have that information and send him a note. And he'll check in with it. Fast fingers on the keyboard, Sammy Terry is.
That's right. And, of course, George helps a great deal. Having the eight legs, he can type up a store.
Always got A's in his typing classes. It's always fabulous there.
He certainly did.
Now, I want to give a shout-out to the guys over at Golan Globus Theater. That's, of course, the podcast that I guested on this week. Of course, October is Schlocktober, and I was able to tell them on their show about your encounters with this year's Schlocktober Artist of Residence, Vincent Price.
Oh, Vincent Price, my good fiend, Vinny. You see, the year was 1972, and Vinny had come to Indianapolis, I like to say, to be on my 10th anniversary show. But there was also some little performance at this little house of entertainment called Clues Hall that he was in, and he'd come into Channel 4 studio to do the daytime talk show. And while he was there, the crew wheeled out my coffin. Vincent Price got in, and they filmed him wishing me as he came up out of my coffin, like I do, a very happy birthday. So Vinny was so appreciative. He left me a signed autograph, and I in turn sent him one, and then he sent me one back. So I very much appreciated my time with Vinny.
Was it the Edgar Allan Poe? Probably was. I wouldn't be surprised. I know he was doing a tour, and there is a film of him reciting the works of Edgar Allan Poe. But the guys over at Golan Globus Theater, you look up Golan Globus Theater, you go check your podcast. But they did the two Dr. Fives films, mm-hmm. then Mask of the Red Death, the Cleanse Your Palate, mm-hmm. and then yours truly was on to discuss my favorite of his, Theater of Blood.
Theater of Blood. And, of course, Theater of Blood is one of the episodes that I have available on my private DVD collection that's only attainable by you at one of my live appearances.
So now you have a reason to go see him in person. That's, of course, in this one, Price plays Edward Lionheart, a Shakespearean actor, maybe not the greatest actor, but he's got a strong following.
He tried really hard.
Yes, he did. And he decides to off the critics who wrote bad reviews about him one by one in the styles of Shakespeare's plays. So if you want to see Dr. Fibes' format, but involving Troilus and Cressida, Cymbeline, Merchant of Venice, Richard III, Romeo and Juliet, Henry the Sixth, Part One. I said Richard III. Yeah. And then you get to see Price recite some Shakespeare. You hear him doing Julius Caesar, Hamlet, and you also get to see Diana Rigg in disguise, even though it doesn't fool anybody. Or as the guys at Golan Globus says, she looks like a member of ELO in her disguise. See, costumes and role-playing, friends. So, yeah, you can listen to Golan Globus Theater, or you can check out Theater of Blood at SammyTerry.com.
Of course. We've got it available there for you. In fact, you'd mentioned earlier that George had his typing skills. You see, we did a horrible thing around the castle.
Yeah.
As you know, one of my sponsors that I'm the spokesperson for is Gutter Helmet of Central Indiana. And I had them come out and put gutter helmets on my castle and no more sludge, which means no more little critters for George. Oh, he would like to creep up there on the next to the gargoyle, and he would pick out all of the little bugs to munch upon. But I don't have any more. So you see, he's a sad little George now, and that's why he's not here, Matthew. He is staging his own revolt. He wants his bugs, and he wants them bad.
So he's revolting.
He is very revolting.
As Mel Brooks once said, yeah, you said it. They stink on ice. Oh, the other one, I'm sorry, Titus Andronicus, of your favorite Shakespeare play, I know, because shout out to Richmond Shakespeare Festival. He did the curtain speech for that. But yes, that's also a part of Theater of Blood. And Titus Andronicus is happening with Indie Bard Fest, indiebardfest.com, as well as Medea, Hedda Gabler. Trust me, it all fits in the season. You'll find something to go with that. So if those who like Shakespeare and Sammy Terry, well, that's film sociology. So anyway, you can go to SammyTerry.com, find out where he's going. Sammy, tell us, everybody, where you're going to be at this weekend once more, and the website. And, man, I'm really appreciate you coming and misting in here with all your goodies.
This Saturday, the 28th, from noon until 4, I'll be at the Irvington Halloween Festival in East Washington Street in front of Scarlet Lane Brewery. And then from 7 to 10 p.m. on Saturday, I'll be in Shelbyville at the Strand Theater, hosting the two grand horror movies, Bride of Frankenstein and Night of the Living Dead. On Sunday, I'll be in Martinsville, Indiana, at the Art Sanctuary. It's a free stage show event, so bring all your family and fiends. On Monday evening, I'll be at the Indiana Pacers game at 7 o'clock, just before tip-off. Oh, I'll be revving up the crowd from the floor as the Pacers take on the Chicago Bulls. And then Tuesday night, my Halloween special airing and streaming on SammyTerry.com. I'll be presenting Godzilla 85. It's the actual 1986 television Halloween special that we aired back then. It's always a horrible pleasure being here with you, Matthew, one of the great orators of radio left on this planet. And of course, if you haven't sent your pledge money for WFYI, make sure you make your pledge, for nothing happens for free, folks. And to keep great programming, it takes a little bit from everyone. So pledge today or we'll dredge you tomorrow. And with that, oh, I wish you, Matthew, a horrible Halloween, and all of your listeners many pleasant nightmares.
Always a pleasure, Sammy Terry. Again, once again, SammyTerry.com. to go check out all his merch and where he's going to be all over the area. So you're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Got a couple of quick reviews, and then we'll go around the horn, and then we'll grab a pencil and find out what you've been watching. Opening in theaters this week, it'll be on Netflix in a couple of weeks, is the new film from David Fincher called The Killer. It stars Michael Fassbender as the most serious, methodical, cinematic hitman ever. And we get to see it, especially in the first half of basically a one-man show with Fassbender. Throughout the film, a narration about his rules and regulations and theories and things that must be done for him to be the title of the film. And the second half gets a little more action loaded, not that much, of what happens when there is a near miss and the results of that. So, but it's not personal. It's only business. And I have to credit fellow film critic Evan Dossi, who said on Facebook, "The Killer is assassin ASMR," and he really dug it. And it's one of those things, I couldn't get into it. I thought it is cold and methodical as a film, and Fincher's been known to do that, but we've at least had some connection with some characters in his other films. Not so much so in this one. There's one action fight sequence of note. You also get to see Tilda Swinton and Arliss Howard come off the bench. I don't want to give away why, but it helps that they're in there. But it is a kind of a cold one man. If you like watching Michael Fassbender prepare and do yoga and slide in and out of buildings with very little trouble, this is your film. And it just didn't quite resonate with me. And I like Fincher, so a bit of a disappointment for me. Now, on video from Film Movement out of Japan is a 2008 drama called Passion. And this is an earlier work. Apparently, this was the grad school film for, and I'm sorry in advance for butchering this, Hiroshi Hamaguchi, who, of course, is best known in the States for writing and directing the film Drive My Car, which won Best International Film in 2021. In this film, Passion, a couple at a group dinner announces that they are engaged, and reactions are mixed, to say the least, and how it affects especially the three guys in this that all have a different history with the girl, not quite like that, but also how they handled a piece of news like this. There's a great moment early on in the film where the three guys are running around the streets. These are grown men, and as I watched one of the documentaries about this film later, they compared it. Apparently what was a huge influence on the filmmaker was the John Cassavetes film Husbands, which more people need to check out, from 1970. And it's interesting because this is speaking of timing, this is a patient film. You're waiting for other shoes to drop emotionally, not physically. We have three flawed men trying to deal with their emotions, being in their 20s and maybe late 20s. Because of the filmmaker, it has a documentary realism. There's one particular fascinating shot of a man and a woman talking off screen, and as if they're taking a walk before they finally come into screen, and the ups and downs, especially when he opens his heart up to her. There's a lunch meeting with the mother of the engaged of the fiance that does not go well at all, and it seems like this event, this engagement, really brings out the truth in everybody and with everyone, and that's not easy to swallow. So, you know, there was more fireworks, I think, in this film for me than it was in The Killer. So look for Passion from Film Movements out of Japan, his second feature. So if you like Drive My Car, this is shorter, but it's definitely worth checking out. All right, friends, let us grab a – no, not let's go around horn. Then we'll grab a pencil. I've only been doing this show for a long – how many years? All right, over at the Tibbs Drive-In. Drive-In still open in December. Love it. On screen one, Nightmare Before Christmas, Hocus Pocus, and then Nightmare Before Christmas. I love telling this story. I remember when Hocus Pocus opened. It was released in the summer, and I was absolutely baffled because it was summer of 1993. I was living in Muncie. I had graduated college, and I was trying to find my way, and there was a theater, and they were showing Hocus Pocus, and I saw it with a bunch of other theater friends, and I was just stunned that, you know, they did this in summer. And I remember griping then of why didn't the studio put this out in October? Well, as it turns out, it didn't want to conflict with their October release, The Nightmare Before Christmas. And for once, the studios got it right because, well, both films have legs. Both films have a following. So it all worked out there. Screen 2, the Taylor Swift Eras Tour and the Rocky Horror Picture Show. There you go. Screen 3, Five Nights at Freddy's, and man, hold on, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and then they're going to replay Five Nights at Freddy's. I was at the screening of The Killer on Thursday evening, and man, there were families in pajamas with stuffed animals. Apparently this is a thing, to go see Five Nights at Freddy's. So, I did not see it, but you can read some reviews from Midwest Film Journal in the Film Yap. Screen 4, The Invisible Man from 1933. Yes, with Claude Rains and Gloria Stewart. Then The Mummy with Boris Karloff from 1932. And then 1935's Bride of Frankenstein with Ilsa Lancaster and Boris Karloff. Man, way to go, Screen 4. That's really solid. And that is happening this weekend at the Tibbs Drive-In. At the Skyline Drive-In, Five Nights at Freddy's is being shown through November 5th, as well as Child's Play is running November through the 29th. Sorry. And then Five Nights at Freddy's, I'm sorry, will be continued on November 1st through the 5th. Maximum Overdrive, November 3rd through the 5th. And then Carrie, the original Carrie, November 10th through the 12th. Blowout on the 10th through the 12th. So you get a Brian De Palma double feature. That's pretty strong. So that is all happening at, oh, the Skyline Halloween Party is happening the 28th. That yes, at 6 p.m. All of that is happening at the Skyline Drive-In. Over at the Can-Can, a double feature of Talk to Me and Hereditary, Killers of the Flower Moon, Strange Way of the Life plus The Human Voice, Anatomy of a Fall. Their outdoor series is Shaun of the Dead. I believe they have coming soon. Well, their noir series is coming up. I'm hoping to get Julia Ricci on the show to talk about that. Hold on, I'm reading here. Cured on November 4th, The Maltese Falcon on the 5th, 6th, and 8th. The Manchurian on the 6th, as well as The Rats Are Coming and The Werewolves Are Here. Oh, my gosh. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou on the 7th. Adam's Family Values on the 10th and 11th. And I believe Blackenstein is going to be shown as a part of the festivities. Yeah, hold on a second. October 30th. The 29th through the 31st, The Original House on Haunted Hill. Blackenstein on October 10th. Man, on a Monday. That's tough. That's anyway, I hope a lot of people go out to see Blackenstein on the big screen. November 4th, Dolomite Is My Name. So, yeah, there's lots going on over at the Can-Can. Over at the IU Cinema, Friday, tonight, 7 o'clock, New American Cinema, Brother, from that's 2022. That's at 7 o'clock. 10 p.m., Friday Night Frights, The Void, from 2016. On Saturday the 28th, Brother at 7 p.m. Halloween night, Tuesday, October 31st, Friday night, yeah, Renfield and I Saw the Devil. On Thursday, November 2nd, The Times of Harvey Milk, that's the documentary. Tuesday, November 2nd at 7 p.m. Friday, November 3rd, Days of Being Wild. Saturday, November 4th, a world premiere with live music from John Vickers scoring. Oh, okay, Dragnet Girl from 1933. Tuesday, November 7th at 7 p.m., Hunt for the Cossack Gold. And Thursday, November 9th at 7 p.m., The Color of Pomegranates. All of that is happening at IU Cinema. At the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin, their next event is November 3rd, Steel Magnolias at 7:30 p.m., Friday, November 3rd. Cartoons for Cans on Saturday, November 4th at 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. Saturday, November 4th at 7:30 p.m., RoboCop. And then Friday and Saturday, November 10th and 11th, 2 and 7:30 p.m., Good Morning Vietnam. And then Friday and Saturday, 2 and 7:30 p.m., November 17th and 18th, Rocky. And then, oh boy, November 24th and 25th, 2 and 7:30 p.m., Sunday, November 26th, 2 and 5:30 p.m., Muppet Christmas Carol. All of that is happening at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin. All right, grab a pencil. Let's find out what you've been watching this week. So hopefully you got to watch some good movies that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. And I got a note from Golan Globus Theater, or Golan Globin Theater, for the month of October. Of course, you can hear them with me on their show as a guest, talking about Theater of Blood. You can check out Golan Globus Theater. But I got a note of Night Killer from 1990 is on YouTube. I highly recommend you watch it before listening to the episode. It's by the director of Troll 2, Total WTF Movie. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. We move over to Facebook. We start with Nick, who writes, Shaky Shivers, Ken Russell's The Devils, as I always call it, a film as twisted as Vanessa Redgrave's neck. The Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires, Killers of the Flower Moon, Perfect, and While the City Sleeps. Nick's response, because I had to ask about, I always ask about a film like The Devils. Certainly as advertised, I watched a version with the excised portions edited back in. Definitely and sadly holds up as a parable about the perils of prosecuting people you simply don't like or who won't sleep with you. Peak Oliver Reed, incredible sets from Derek Jarman. Was not expecting Leone-like explosions near the end, but that was an added bonus. Yeah, say what you will about the film itself, it looks great. And yeah, this is Oliver Reed in top form. But thank you, Nick. All right, Dustin writes Belfast. Helen writes The Original Halloween. Amanda, always at the library, The Original House on Haunted Hill, The Rat Catcher, The Swan, The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar, Poison, and The Woman in the Window, as well as Little Evil. Sam writes, The Hills Run Red, Last Shift, the 2000 remake Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and he already wrote, I know, shut up, Get Hard, and Dread. Thank you, Sam. Doug writes Salt of the Earth, The Sting, and Groundhog Day. Eric writes the original Halloween. Ryan writes A Million Miles Away, Matilda the Musical, Role Models, and Rounders. Daniel writes A Day at the Races, Air, Past Lives, The Spirit is Willing, A Night at the Opera, Witness to Murder, That's Entertainment, and Time After Time. Melissa writes Cell, Hocus Pocus, Shocker, Body Parts, and Totally Killer. Jessica writes Plan 9 from Outer Space, chosen for me for the podcast I was on, The Frighteners, Terrifier and Terrifier 2, as well as Practical Magic. Connor writes Brave. Kurt writes, At Beltrace, we watch Ghost on Saturday and the musical Chicago on Sunday for our second Sunday musical transferred to the fourth Sunday this month. Thank you, Kurt. You're doing great work there. Kevin writes, Mad to be Normal, starring David Tennant and featuring Michael Gambon. Patty writes, Soylent Green and Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein. That's a double feature, Patty. Way to go. Eric writes, First Views, Boris Karloff in Isle of the Dead and Luckiest Girl Alive, and his rewatch, the original House on Haunted Hill. Lou Harrier writes, Polite Society, not to be confused with Polite Soci, see what he did there, as well as Men and Blackberry. Jamie writes, Bram Stoker's Dracula, Jack Osborne's Night of Terror, Bigfoot, Happy Halloween, Scooby-Doo, featuring Elvira, Ernest Scared Stupid, and Casper. Jay writes, rewatched Sleepy Hollow with Johnny Depp, then watched a favorite we always watch with the kids, Monster House. David writes, Malcolm X and The Nightmare Before Christmas. Brian writes, first-time viewings of House of Frankenstein, Son of Frankenstein, The Black Cat, and Island of Lost Souls. Really enjoyed the Historic Artcraft Theater's Monster Madness this past weekend. Very good. Anthony writes Barbarian and The Lodge. I love dark comedy, and I went in completely blind, so I thoroughly enjoyed it. That's about Barbarian. Howell writes Young Frankenstein. Magnus writes Killers of the Flower Moon, Halloween Ends and Halloween Kills, and Vifton, a Danish movie, as well as The Mist. JJ writes Killers of the Flower Moon and deemed it stunning. Gambit from 1966, the Michael Caine, Shirley MacLaine heist romp, as well as Holy Spider. Corey writes both the Addams Family movies, Halloween Town, and the original Wicker Man. Why wouldn't she? Terry writes, Witchfinder General. Yes, I just talked to the Golden Globus guys about this. So if you've not seen Vincent Price in Witchfinder General, you really should. One of the reasons why we were talking about Theater of Blood is that era of the late 70s was Vincent Price's last great cinematic run as a leading man. The two Dr. Fives films, Theater of Blood, and then Madhouse. And I like to tell the story with Madhouse of that was the example. That was, for me, an early example of how the art doesn't change, you change. I was 10 years old, first time I saw Madhouse. He is a horror movie actor whose friends and loved ones wind up getting killed around him, and he becomes the suspect. But Svengoolie was hosting it, if I remember correctly, when he was briefly syndicated in Detroit. And I'm up past my bedtime, and there's no lights on, just the glow of the TV screen, and I'm watching the movie, and I'm really getting into it. I'm 10. And then our cat jumped on my lap, and I screamed. Bedroom light came on. Here comes Dad, and all that sort of thing. Great, great story and great effect while watching a movie. Fast forward to college and college age film nerds, film bros, and you dismiss it. You're like, it wasn't that scary. It wasn't that scary. And then hopefully by the time you're 30, you get the stick out of your butt and you accept the film for what it is. And I was able to, fortunately, get to that stage in life. So I'd like to use that example. So stuff that you watched at a younger age, maybe give it another shot. The film hasn't changed. You will, hopefully for the better. So anyway, but before this run of films in the 70s, There is a film that Price did called Witchfinder General, directed by Michael Reeves, also known as The Conqueror Worm, where he plays a professional witch hunter. He is paid lots of money to go to village and accuse women of witchcraft. And, of course, all the women are in their late teens, early 20s, and hot. Gorgeous. So there is that. But it is a really nasty performance from Price. The smarmy, ugly kind of stuff that he did with AIP and with films beforehand, like A House on Haunted Hill, but with a much more grown-up situation in film. Because by the 60s, he was already starting to parody himself. He was doing TV and, you know, would later do more TV. But, you know, he was appearing in some AIP comedies. And this one is just straight out grown-up movie and a really sinister performance from Vincent Price. So if you've not seen Witchfinder General, look for it. I own it because I'm that guy. All right, back to the list. Kelly writes The High and the Mighty, as well as Airplane, and Eric points out the film 0 Hour to Kelly, so hopefully she'll be able to watch that. Linda writes Hocus Pocus. Jeff writes Atonement and No Hard Feelings. Pat Duggins. Hey, Pat. Pat writes John Carpenter's Vampires, and then spotted an extra from U.S. Marshals with Tommy Lee Jones and Wesley Snipes. I see what you did there. Gretchen writes The Empty Man. Rachel writes, not the most pleasant of stories, but Black Mass, Truth, and Spotlight. Please tell me you didn't do those as a triple feature, Rachel. Please tell me you didn't do those back to back to back. I hope you're okay. Taylor writes, Murder is Easy, Christie TV movie with Bill Bixby, as well as Casablanca and 200 Motels. Gary writes Hannah and the Blair Witch Project. Stephanie writes The Tomb of Nosferatu, a silent horror. Tracy Forner. I love you, Tracy. Tracy, and now, as I mentioned before, Eric has been doing first views and repeat views, and now someone else has picked up that wordage. Tracy is now giving me his partial watchings and his entirety watchings. This is great. I think he did it a couple of times, but now this is regular. Tracy's partials: Predator, a couple of Spider-Man films, tell Aunt May to call me, Venom, and Barbershop. Watching in its entirety, Nightmare Before Christmas and Venom 2. Thanks, Tracy. Linda writes A Few Good Men and Top Gun, Vampire Dog, Hocus Pocus, and the new version of The Witches, plus Leap Year and Killers of the Flower Moon. Jenny writes My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2. And finally, John writes The Firm. And that's what you've been watching this week, folks. So hopefully you got to watch some good movies that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's some out there. And, use the facilities or don't consume liquid hours before going seeing some of these films. You know which I'm talking about. Thanks again to Sammy Terry. Thanks again to Golden Globus Theater for letting me be on their show this week. And thanks to everybody who supported WFYI during the fall pledge drive. Just remember, it's never too late or too early to support WFYI and support film sociology and all things public radio goodness. And I'm just going to put this out once more. If you contributed to Grab a Pencil, if you've shared your movie watch list with Facebook or Twitter and X and me, and I've told stories about my adventures with those films, please show your support. Go to WFYI.org/give. If everybody who contributed to Grab a Pencil went to WFYI.org/give, the drive might be done. We might have met our goal for the drive. But just putting that out there, you can always show your support anytime. Today's the last day of the drive. So thank you one to everybody and everybody online and everybody listening on the radio. And anyway, we'll do this again next week. Thanks for listening. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What kind of parent are you?
when I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!